Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What the heck are you doing?
Ooh, hey, back up, buddy. Trying to work out over here.
Okay, what is
Well,
this shindig?
there's not much room in here for working out my cordyceps.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we get spooky and kooky in October month. I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. Didn't we try like coming up with nicknames one year?
Yeah,
like,
was I John Boogan? That's the standard, right?
And I was like Werewolf Nick. I don't know. It's hard to
Nick,
make a
tree.
What?
Creaky tree wood. Creaky tree wood or
creaky,
something.
Oh, creak, Nick tree.
Creaky tree.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. How's it going, man? It's the second week of, what?
Nick, I forgot to pay my federal income tax wood. That's scary.
That is scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
What are we working on? We're working on some October month.
It's second week.
We're gonna get spooked. We're gonna get kooked.
You keep trying to make this rhyme work, but the only rhymes after that are really bad.
You're gonna get looked at on StrangerStillShow.com. You're gonna go on there, you're gonna look at it with your eyes.
Yeah. That sure is a thing. This week was brought to you by Garrison on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
This was,
thank you, Garrison.
Yeah, this was put up on our poll. I thought that we had covered this. We're talking about, I mean, you guys know from the title, but we're talking about the fungus that zombifies ants. And I was like, oh, we talked about this in our zombie episode way back in the day. But at that point, it was like a footnote. I went back through my notes and found out it was just like a footnote of the entire episode. And then I looked into it. Turns out we can make a whole episode out of this creepy, creepy fungus. I will recommend, if you want nightmare fuel, you can go type in Ophiocordyceps unilateralis into Google. It's spelled just like it sounds. And you...
If you mess up, Google will get you there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. I just messed up for lead.
It's horrifying, this fungus. And then if you really, really want nightmare fuel, type in spider zombie fungus, and there's a picture of a tarantula on there that made this episode horrifying to research for. So this might not be the spookiest topic, but it was really, really challenging for me. And I,
yeah, the imagery alone is just making me,
I know,
queasy.
I thought that I was gonna have nightmares last night, but I didn't have any dreams, so I'm gonna count
even
that as
worthless. Bad clip art. Like, this person made a picture of an ant with a fungus on its little head, and the gradient tool doesn't age well. Huh?
It doesn't. No, that's like web 1.0.
Everything looks shiny.
Yeah. So we're talking about the zombie ant fungus, also known as Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. It's a fungus that really recently became famous thanks to things like Last of Us. There's also a book and a movie called, a professional would write this stuff down, but I don't remember what it was called. It's like the Girl
more,
with the Things or something.
Titties.
What's that?
The girl with the mushroom tattoo?
Yeah, the girl with the mushroom tattoo. It's this fungus that infects carpenter ants and seemingly turns them into zombies, taking over their body, forcing them to climb up a tree to their death where they can spread more fungal spores. And it primarily occurs in rainforests, but it's been found all over the world. I think at this point they found like 28 different species of just the cordyceps that zombifies insects. So
all of them can affect carpenter ants.
Yeah.
Do you think that if Jesus had like a little baby, and then his sister was like watching it, and they were in the same industry, she would be the baby's carpenter ant?
Man, you stuck that landing.
Thanks.
So it appears that some species of the fungus, which is much easier to say than Ophiocordyceps unilateralis, can only infect certain ants. So like in some rainforests, you might find four types of ants in one area, but only two of the ants become zombified by this fungus, even though they're exposed to the same environments. The fruit of the fungus, the stalk of the fungus, sprouts like out of the ant's head. And sometimes, like if you are brave enough to look this up, it can be like as long as the ant, if not longer, when it comes out. It looks like a disgusting unicorn horn. It also reminded me of From Beyond, which you made me watch, where the little stalk comes out of his pineal gland. Was it an eye that came out, or what was that?
It was a pineal gland. It was
just
the
gland. I got it.
This is a sexual awakening.
Yeah.
Go watch Joe Gordon films.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Stuart Gordon, not Jeff Gordon. He's a racer. I always confuse them only because when I was in high school, there was this like in retrospect, really cool kid. But we always knew him as a rolly backpack kid because he would always roll his backpack everywhere. But
there's always that one kid.
It was decked out in Jeff Gordon. And it was like, we always thought that it made his backpack go faster, that he had like Jeff Gordon emblems and
what, 24, whatever his number is.
Oh, dude. Yeah. He went so fast. Class to class. I still don't know that kid's name. I'm a bad person, I think.
That is kind of sad. So before I get too far ahead of myself, I want to take a step back. And for that, John, I want you to tell me how far back you think that this fungus goes.
Fungus?
Yeah, the fungus, though. The Ophiocordyceps unilateralis.
How many Google searches am I allowed?
Zero.
Zero? How about half?
Okay, half of one.
Okay.
Google search.
Did Egyptian mushrooms. I'm going to go with ancient Egypt, Nicholas. I'm going to go with ancient Egypt. Final answer.
Well, as it turns out, there's a gentleman named Dr. David Hughes, who's like the premier researcher on this fungus. He found a fossil of an ant with a fossil, or with the fungus coming out of its head, that dated back 48 million years.
Yeah, that's about the same time as the reign of Cleopatra.
Yeah, I believe so. The fax machine was around too. So since this fungus has existed for such a long time, for a long time, people just think that it co-evolved with ants. So as soon as ants came along, this fungus came along, and they've been around as long as the other one. But thanks to one of his graduate students, he took a crap load of samples of fungus, not just this one, but over 600 different fungus, sequenced their DNA, and was able to track everything back to a common ancestor across like all of the Ophiocordyceps. Yeah.
Can you just, you said that weird. Can you say ancestor again?
Sorry. They found one common ancestor.
Thank you.
But they found the common ancestor is this fungus that lives inside of rotting logs. And beetles will come along, lay their eggs in this rotting log. And once the eggs hatch, the larva come out, chomp on the log, and ingest some of the spores from this fungus. And the fungus would grow inside the larva, eventually killing it. Not even zombifying it, it just kills it and then spreads the spores out so that the other larvae that have recently hatched can chomp on it as well. Somewhere along the way, they now think, an ant likely came along, chomped on that same log, and the ant was infected with a version of this spore. Unfortunately, that wouldn't, I mean, for the fungus, the fungi's point of view, this wouldn't be the optimal spot for ants to spread the fungal spores very far. So eventually it evolved into what we know and love today. And that fungus, of course, is Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. Can you tell that I practiced saying this yesterday when I was
researching? Yeah, no, it's beautiful. It sounds like a poem. Like you could be a rapper.
I'm a Robert Frost over here. If you can make a rap out of Ophiocordyceps unilateralis, I will be. I hope that I'm saying.
I'll try it. I made a real rap the other day, for real.
Yeah, it's on Instagram. Just to preface, he doesn't like shout his name at the beginning, like Jason Derulo. That's very disappointing. So,
yeah. I'm gonna work on. I'll also like Riptide at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like a little auto-tune.
Yeah. And then you got to do like a really long rap and then at the end say one take. I heard that for the first time the other day. I was like, what? What's the point of that brag? Like, no one's going to be like, that was an okay rap. And then he's like, one take. And they're like, oh my God.
Wow. Dude, yeah. No editing? Who did that?
I don't
Who
know.
Who did that?
I was listening to it on some streamer was listening to just music while he was playing games and that came up. And I was like, it's <"That's> ridiculous.
What a silly brag.
I know. Anyway, like, I get it. Like, I brag about stupid stuff all the time. Like, my kid can spell. Who cares, right?
Yo, 8 takes and a free trial of Auto-Tune.
And his 14-day trial of Adobe Audition.
Yeah.
So anyway, sort of this, the fungus is pretty amazing. It's very, very simple. The basic way.
And there are different versions of that word. Like, people say everything's awesome, but you ever filled with awe, Nicholas? Are you ever filled with awe? Kinda. Have you ever been filled with awe? You can't come up with words. So if you think of amazing,
I've been,
it's the same
I've
gravity.
Been filled with awe, Savinia, Zadabisi, Bobo.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. But in all actuality, awe and amazing can be a horrifying thing, because this is like body horror.
It is.
It's terrible.
So it the way that this works is that there might be some spores of the fungus just laying around on the rainforest floor. This carpenter ant is like out doing his thing. He steps on one of the spores. And that spore ends up making its way inside of the ant's body and into his bloodstream. And the ant just goes about his life, not knowing anything's happened. Meanwhile,
steps on it, so it's small enough to fit in a little ant paw.
Yeah.
A little ant paw. Ants have paws?
They have disgusting legs.
Claws?
If you're a long-time listener to this show, you know how I feel about ants. And I've tried to keep that out of this episode, but boy, do I hate them.
Not like an
ant with a U, but just A-N-T, because I know that
you wait till you hear how he feels about uncles.
So the spore makes its way into the ant's bloodstream, goes about his life, but the spore starts dividing and just like traveling about his body. And so it sounds almost like cancer cells, but they don't really communicate with each other. But eventually, the spores multiply so much that they start to form these tiny little tubes. Imagine these tiny tubes inside of an ant's bloodstream. It starts making these tubes to communicate all across the ant's body. It continues to spread, taking over more and more of the ant, sucking out its nutrients from the inside out, essentially eating it. And as it spreads, it starts to fill in the empty gaps between the muscles of the ant. So you know how tiny ants are?
I'm imagining ants' muscles.
Yes. Imagine ant muscles. There's spacing between there, and the spore just like wedges its way in there and starts spreading and multiplying in there.
Yeah, no, that's terrifying enough, but even more terrifying is imagining a buff ant now.
Yeah, he's just swole. Once it's taken over like half of the ant's body weight, the ant will leave the colony, climb a nearby tree or plant until it's exactly 25 centimeters off the ground. This is the,
what?
Yes, I know. The one article, I think it was The Atlantic, I was reading. It started off. I might as well just read it.
Please,
because I was so
terrified.
I know. I was so confused. It grabbed me in. It says, to find the world's most sinister examples of mind control, don't look to science fiction. Instead, go to a tropical country like Brazil and venture deep into the jungle. Find a leaf that's hanging almost exactly 25 centimeters above the forest floor, no more and no less. Now look under it. If you're in luck, you might find an ant clinging to the leaf's central vein, jaws clamped tight for dear life. But this ant's life is already over, and its body belongs to the Ophiocordyceps unilateralis, the zombie ant fungus.
Not to the bomb, you fellow mucho de poco de Portuguese Brasileiro.
I'm like pretending to know what you're saying.
How does something without a brain understand metrics when the U.S. government doesn't?
Well, you're applying human constructs to it. What it's really looking for is the optimal height for the correct temperature and the correct humidity for this fungus to grow in the rainforest.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Just so happens to be about less than a foot off the ground.
You said exactly.
Well, it's 25 centimeters exactly, but that's less than a foot, right?
Yeah, I wonder how climate change will change that.
Maybe it'll go up to 26, or go down to 24. So in the ant's like last dying breath, it clamps down, just like the Atlantic article said. It clamps its jaw into the middle of the leaf, where like the central vein of the structure is coming up. And again, the fungus is causing it to do this. Its jaws clamp down. It's often referred to as the death grip, because it stays there until it dies. And not soon after the ant dies, the spore creates this gluey substance that permanently attaches it to the leaf. And then a short while later, this giant stalk that I've talked about a bunch jettisons out of the ant's head and rains spores down on the ground below. And typically, the ant doesn't travel far when it's finding that optimal height for the fungus. So when the spores rain down, it usually rains down on the exact colony that it came from and just repeats the cycle.
Really makes ants feel like computers, you know? Yeah. I feel like ants are just little, what are they called, Android jelly beans? What are those little things?
Oh, yeah, like the mascot for Android? So you're talking
What are those like cheap Android computers that you can program to do
Raspberry Pis?
Raspberry Pis.
Yeah.
Yeah, ants feel like little Raspberry Pis, and ants are like viruses or malware.
Yeah, you can program it to play all your NES games.
Yeah, it's just weird how we mimic nature in that sense.
Yeah.
But also creepier that, like, could you imagine having that mindset? Like, in all actuality, if you think about it, and I've thought about this as a vegan because I'm not like intruding on other people's consciousness, mm-hmm. or other animals, but if an ant actually has a consciousness and it understands what it's doing for the most part, can you imagine just being consumed with, like, I have this crazy urge that I just need to bite this leaf until I die?
Yeah,
that's a terrifying actual, like, that's a scary thing. This is a real thing. Like, it's not just we're talking about it like it's abstract, but we have a consciousness, so why is that different from an ant thinking that it, I mean, maybe it doesn't understand what it is and it's not very intelligent.
Let me add a wrinkle to your theory here, which is that normally when, and this is topical for the time right now, normally when an ant gets in a colony gets sick, the ants kick that ant out of the colony because they don't want the illness to spread to all the other ants.
Wow.
That doesn't happen with this fungus. They don't
happen with humans either, with all the antimatter.
Yeah, you're right.
Go on.
But like it's strange to me. Like they either
override.
Yeah, they either don't know that it's occurring in this ant. Like later in the life cycle, they start to have like convulsions, which is also weird.
Oh, hey, cool hat.
Yeah, but like it starts affecting the ant's nerves, so it starts having convulsions. But they still either by that point it's too late for the ant or something. I don't know. But they don't kick these ants out, and it wouldn't do much good because they're gonna spread the spores. Maybe the ants are that smart. They're like, he's gonna spread these spores anyway. We might as well just let him do work for us before he dies.
And then beyond that, it like wasn't even scarier. Yeah, well, we'll rally against that in the future when we have a revolutionary podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Comrade Bernie. But beyond that, the fact that it actually spreads through its little baby ant paws,
mm-hmm.
that's a tiny spore, man.
Yeah.
That stuff can fit anywhere. That could fit right through a little ant mask, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Ant e-maskers.
Hey.
Full circle.
Needs a little work, but...
So we thought, much like a zombie, we thought for a long time that the fungus made its way to the brain and overtook the brain, and that's what causes the ant to climb the tree to its death. There's a lot of things that we don't know about the fungus, but in recent years, we've actually learned a lot. Like, scientists found the fungus over 100, maybe less than 100, over 100 years ago, we'll go with. But it wasn't until like 20 years ago that anyone really gave a damn. And this goes back to Dr. Hughes and his team. Like I said, he's the one leading the charge on it. And most of the things that we know about the fungus are thanks to him and his team, or people that were like undergrads under him and went on to do their own thing. But I bring this up because we thought that the fungus got into the brain, made them do their thing. However, his team cut an infected ant into slices that were 50 nanometers wide, which I guess is 100th the width, or 1,000th, oh my gosh, 1/1,000th the width of a human hair, which is a metric everyone can relate to, I know. But they sliced up this ant into these tiny, tiny slices, and then they scanned every single slice and reconstructed a 3D model of the ant so that they could see inside of this ant. So it's like an MRI for a teeny, tiny ant. Totally incredible. They also used AI to figure out which part was a fungus and which part was like actually the ant. So if the spore had made its way into the muscle and they couldn't tell, they trained AI to figure out the difference between like real ant muscle and the fungus. And they used that to enhance their model.
I wonder if as exciting as this stuff is to discover as a scientist or as a biologist, if you feel empathy at that point because you're working with them so often, or if it becomes, do you think they feel empathy? Like they're like, oh man, like shed a little tear at night for one of the ants? Or do you think they're more like, oh, this is just my job. Like I keep work at work.
I don't know. I think it's probably like a doctor. Like, there's some doctors that can leave their work at work, but there's some other doctors that have trouble leaving that at the door, you know?
Yeah, and this is probably a smaller sample because it's not as many people that are researching this stuff.
Yeah.
But man, I would be terrified. I mean, it worked enough to influence Naughty Dog, right?
It's true.
The Last of Us.
Yeah. Speaking of 3D models, right? But what they found out with their 3D model, not Naughty Dog's 3D model, is that the fungus never actually even reaches the brain. At first, they were like, yeah. So there's a couple ideas that they had. They thought maybe it forms around the brain and influences it from there. They thought maybe it could overtake the nerves. It's possible that since the fungus got in between the muscles, it was actually like moving the muscles and stuff like that, and the ant just can't do anything about it. However, recently, a researcher named Carissa DeBecker took an ant brain, put it in a culture in a petri dish, and kept the brain alive, which I know you just love hearing. They introduced the fungus to the dish and then studied all the chemicals that the fungus was sending out toward the brain and what was being received by the brain. And they found thousands of unidentified chemicals that suggest the fungus just controls the brain from far away by producing these chemicals, putting them in the bloodstream, and then it makes its way to the brain.
That's so much scarier.
Isn't that horrifying?
Yeah, it's not just taking over. It's just saying like, oh, it feels good to chomp down on this leaf. You're seeing serotonin.
Yeah.
No.
Who knows? Maybe it plays with like the reward receptors. You're right. But what's even more creepy is depending on what species of ant brain they put in the culture influenced the chemicals that were being released by the fungus. So the fungus was like, it has like a wiki ant pulled up and it's like, all right, this is a polyarachis. I'm not saying that right. Send out these chemicals for the polyarachis. That's beyond.
There used to be a fun game that I would play where I would I was really into philosophy and I was trying to Google like what's beyond human comprehension, what's something that's really hard for humans to understand. And I think this is it, Nick. I think the fungus's understanding of multiple ant species to the point where they're sending out not 10 or 20 but thousands of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
That's overwhelming. Like the size of the universe that we can't understand. How can you understand thousands of chemicals?
So small too. Yeah. And can you imagine being just a brain on a petri dish, being fed these chemicals, and not being able to do anything?
That's pretty terrifying too. That's a good Stephen King. That's something Stephen King would definitely write about after a bender.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out that this fungus, if the spores do make its way into an ant, it does have a 100% lethality rate, if that's the right word. So I think thanks to science, it's not really considered a zombie fungus anymore. In my mind, it's more like a parasite, like toxoplasmosis or horse hair worms or something like that. Like you said,
which is something else. Yeah, I'm interested in exploring that too, because that's something that can affect humans.
Yeah, toxoplasmosis. Like
you change a kitty litter one time.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you're posting dumb stuff on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, like toxoplasmosis, when it gets into mice, it makes them less fearful of predators so that they can be consumed by cats and stuff. So
yeah. And when it gets into humans, it makes them more aggressive on Facebook posts.
Yeah. It also provides birth defects if you're pregnant. So if you're pregnant, don't change your litter box. Make your partner do it that isn't pregnant. I will say, while I was researching this, I said this before, I mostly just got freaked out because I was getting like really itchy, or I'd feel like a blanket brush across my leg and I'd think that it was an ant. But just to freak you out more, of course, the fungus isn't just contained to ants. It occurs in different insects all over the world. Here's a few that I found.
Oh, great. I hope some of them fly so I can be more scared.
Yeah, they do. So I got some of these from National Geographic. They had one species that infects ghost moth caterpillars. And apparently in China and Tibet, it's used in medicines as an immune booster, cancer treatment, and aphrodisiac.
We should do an episode on aphrodisiacs.
Yeah, we should. Apparently, some cicadas let the fungus live inside them so that they can their body can process more nutrients out of tree sap when the fungus is inside of them for some reason. Totally bonkers there.
Cicadas are some of the creepiest insects that exist anyway.
That's true.
The whole 7 years thing.
Yeah.
They're just obsessed with Ocarina of Time. They just, because that's the time frame between young and adult Link.
Yeah, look at you, nerd. There's some flies that can become infected with one species of the fungus, which at that point they're like the ant. They fly way up high, land on a plant, and actually glue themselves to it and then release the spores from high up. So it's kind of like that. And then there's this is just a paragraph from National Geographic. They said there's Massospora cicadina, which pumps its cicada host full of hallucinogenic drugs and causes part of their abdomens to fall off. The bare-bottom cicada then wiggles its way toward death, again in the interest of spore dispersal.
What bug was this?
A cicada. Can you imagine a cicada that's just like high on... on LSD,
just high as hell. So yeah. why is it hallucinogenic to certain species but not others?
I have no idea. It's just how the fungus evolved, man.
Maybe it was trying to coax the cicada. The cicada was like, nah, this is dumb, I'm getting more nutrients.
Yeah.
And it was like, what if you were high?
And then I think
wiggle your butt off.
I think I said it before, if you want to never sleep again, you can look up the zombie fungus Trishla. Spiders. Yeah. If you Google search that, there's the University of Melbourne, an equally reputable source, uksafari.com, had a couple pictures of them. there's a tarantula with the hyperfungus. There's also false widows. The false widows are like covered in this silky, like cottony material. It's horrifying. And if I saw that in real life, I think I showed it to Rory. What did she say? I don't remember what she said. She wasn't freaked out because apparently nothing scares her anymore. I think we've broken her. But
yeah, me and her watched the top 10 most disturbing movies on IMDb. Yeah. I didn't tell you. Yeah. We watched Kind of a Holocaust together. It was a blast. We made popcorn.
So it's horrifying. That's all I have to say. You asked before if this infects humans. Luckily, it does not. However, after the break, I would like to read off what would happen if it overtook a human from What If Show.
Oh, wow. Man, can you even imagine if there was something like that? That was like imagine a virus that affected millions of people across the world.
Hey, guys, I don't know what where he's going like? With this one. I have no
what
idea where it's going.
Imagine, like, and then everybody had to wear masks. And then some people were like, I'm not going to do it. And that just made it worse.
And they were anti-maskers.
All right, let's
go. A joke so nice, I had to say it twice. Let's go take a break.
Yeah, let's go to this break.
So, what's the plan?
Right. We take Pete's car. We drive over to Mum's. We go in. Take care of Philip.
I'm so sorry, Philip.
Then we grab Mum, we go over to Liz's place, hole up, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Nick.
Oh, God, you beat me to it.
Where can people find us?
You can find us at StrangerStillShow.com. You can also go to Patreon.com/StrangerStill and give us $5 a month and listen to this month's bonus episode. We played a pretty fun game, if I do say so myself. I'm just basing that off of what you said.
I think so. I think you came up with some pretty good stuff. You had some fake horror movies and real horror movies, and I had to guess which ones were which.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, you'll just have to pay us $5 a month to find out how well John did on that.
Yeah, you don't need that 620 calories of a Subway footlong.
Yeah.
Just spend the $5 on us.
Yeah.
Support your local guys that you listen to all the time anyway.
Yeah. So I have... From the What If Show, they had an article that was what would happen if the zombie fungus overtook humans. And it doesn't really provide us with any new information, but it is a good recap and a pretty creepy write-up. So I just wanted to read it straight as they had it. I'm totally, plagiarizing this. But they are credited here and in our show notes. So it's not, I mean, credit where credit's due. But I'm being lazy. So they said... If this fungal parasite could jump from insects to human, it would most likely be an airborne infection. Places like cities, public transportation, and tunnels would all be danger zones, and you could potentially catch the cordyceps fungus. It's likely that the fungus would attack your body as it would as any other parasite might. When you first become infected, you'll begin to feel some symptoms you've probably felt before. A fever, abdomen pain, weakness, and vomiting are all possible consequences. You might also notice yourself getting depressed, as the cordyceps could affect your dopamine levels. Some of these effects might be familiar, but what isn't is how the fungus would spread through your body. As time goes on, the fungus would start to take over your nervous system. Since you're a lot bigger than something like an insect, it would take months for the cordyceps to take you over fully. Just think of that brewing in you for 4 months. As this is happening, the fungus would grow throughout your arms and legs. When it spreads far enough in your body, it can gain control over you. You could do your best to fight it off, but once it's inside you, there's really nothing you can do. Your brain would still be running, but you wouldn't have control over what you do with it. After all, the cordyceps' primary purpose is to spread as much as it can. And to do that, it would trap you inside an enclosed area so it can grow and spread throughout your body even further. After a couple of weeks, you would die in that spot. And now that you're dead, the cordyceps fungus can continue to spread, turning you into what's known as a fruiting body. This is when spores and fungi would start to come out of you. They'd come out from everywhere that doesn't have a hard bone blocking its way. And now that this has happened, the fungus and spores can spread even further, infecting more and more people. So good luck sleeping tonight, I guess.
Yeah, and there's not very much ammo in The Last of Us, but it does give me a little bit of hope that I can, you know, shoot some of those fungi out of there.
Yeah.
But wow. It couldn't come out of our hard bone.
Yeah, like an ant is lucky because it's got an exoskeleton. You can't just send a bunch of spores out because it hits a hard surface. So that's why it's got to come out of the head. It gets a cool crown.
Does that mean that ants have like a little soft spot like a baby?
Why you got to personify him like that? Now I feel bad for him.
I just want to rub an ant's little soft spot next time I see it.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else on ophiocordyceps?
I don't know. I'm just hoping that everybody's feeling spooked and getting hyped for October month because this is the best month of Stranger Still.
Mm-hmm.
Except for next month and every month after.
Oh, God. Next month is just the best, even.
Yeah.
What are we talking about next week? I already forgot.
I don't know. You're so good at selling things that I can't even remember.
I'm so bad at self-promotion. That's why I make it your job. Oh, man. Well, I think that'll do it. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
Let me do another. Oh. Yeah, let me do a spookier one.
Okay.
And this is Stranger Still.
Discord cut you out. Do it again.
Stranger Still. That work?
Yeah, that worked.
It's like an inhale, like an inhaled pig squeal. Maybe I'll just do like a Stranger Still. Does that work?
It's in the episode now.